This is Living Real Radio, real issues in real time with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.
Good morning. Welcome to Living Real Radio. I'm your host, John Angotti. I'm solo today. Keep Greg Walton in your prayers. He's off for a family funeral, and Julianne's in a meeting. And so today we have the wonderful Sherry Isham is with us here to talk about more than just the women's conference that's next Saturday. It's be coming up on Saturday. The show airs on Sunday. And we also have Amy Raleigh, who's here to who's a participant in the women's conference year after year, singing, but she's also here to talk about her conversion story. So welcome, ladies.
Thank
welcome
you.
To Living
Thank
Real
you for
Radio.
Having us.
Yeah. So let's talk first about the conference that's coming up.
Right. I'm so excited. I can't believe this is going to be our 14th, and I'm used to saying 14th annual, but of course we had to skip last year. But we've been doing this a while, and it's growing. More and more people are becoming aware of it. But we always keep the same theme. We want women to come be inspired, uplifted, basically come be blessed for the day. And just hear some great inspirational speakers, you know, have lunch together, converse, and we have exhibitors. So the women get a chance to go shopping and see a lot of the different Catholic ministries and things like that. So it's a conference with a lot of things going on. And, you know, at lunchtime, too, some ladies like to go out for lunch and we pray the rosary together.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So lots of things happening.
So who's the speakers?
Oh, we have Kendra Von Esch coming. She recently had a major conversion experience. She was a corporate executive and since went on to write the book, Am I Catholic? So she'll be speaking first. Then Sonia Corbett's coming because Kathleen Beckman was originally coming and just couldn't make it from California. She has some medical issues. So Sonia Corbett, who's a local for us here, but she's Bible study evangelista and has written several books. And a lot of the ladies in the area know about her too. So I, especially ones on our committee, they're excited to have her. And then after lunch, we're going to have Christine Watkins speak. And I kind of stumbled upon her. I saw her speaking at Notre Dame, and she has quite a conversion story. The woman was basically atheist, struggling with cancer, about to die in the hospital. And a friend was, she didn't realize this at the time, a friend was praying next to her. And come to find out that friend was praying a rosary, and all of a sudden she heard this pop, pop noise, and she said to the friend, did you hear that? And he goes, no, but I've been praying a rosary for you, and I got the sense you've been healed. And she was. She was healed of cancer, and she's gone on to be the most incredible woman within our Catholic faith, has also written a number of books, too. So,
wow.
And then good old Taylor Tripodi. I'm kind of new just in knowing about her, but some of the songs and music I've heard her sing, and now she's a local Nashvillian. We'll close our event with a concert.
Right, and we're going to be playing Taylor's music today on the show.
Good, good.
Yeah, I was able to get a hold of her, and she's from Cleveland. We won't hold that against her. But, yeah.
Yeah, we've got her here in Nashville now.
Yeah,
so.
Everybody's coming to Nashville.
She has a lot of friends here, too, so
yeah.
That's good.
So this is the 14th year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And this will be a unique year because last year we kind of took a hiatus.
Right. And unfortunately, we're going to probably have to limit attendance just because of some of the restrictions we're still dealing with. And, you know, people are ready to get out and get together. And honestly, I had someone explain it to me once that made so much sense. They said, you know, Sherry, women have been coming together, meeting at the well ever since Jesus' time. So women love getting together. And it's just time we get back together. I know lots of things are happening virtual, but it's important to come together as a community too.
Yeah.
So we just decided let's go ahead and move forward, even though it's going to be a little bit smaller group than normal.
Yeah,
it's a great
conference, and it's good to celebrate women in our church. You know,
sounds good to me.
Women have a huge, we've talked about it over the last month, I think, was Empowering Women Month or something of that nature. Did you know that?
No. So, I missed it.
So every week we had a different female on, you know, as a guest. So, you know, and
excellent.
And my mother would have my tail end if I didn't make sure that women had a voice, for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. So we also have Amy Raleigh here, who Amy is part of our music ministry, but Amy is a second grade teacher.
I am.
And where do you teach, Amy?
I teach in Spring Hill at an elementary school called Chapman's Retreat Elementary. Second grade. Been doing that for 14 years.
Oh, it's just like the conference.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
You and the conference.
Yeah. We, right after we got married, I was hired at...
Not we. You and Jeremy.
No. My husband, Jeremy,
yeah,
and
that's
I.
That's right. Okay, just make that clear. We're on radio.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Sorry, everyone. But yeah, I've been at Chapman's for a while and have, it's an interesting ministry being a teacher in a public school.
Well, Amy's also a stronghold here on Sundays, if you see online.
Stronghold is a strong word to use.
Well, I mean, you're an anchor to this music program. The whole Raleigh crew is what I call them. Amy's husband, Jeremy, and her father-in-law, Chris. I don't know how this place would even stay afloat without those two guys.
True. Chris has been our stage manager. That's what we call him, our stage manager for years with the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He has come to more women's conferences than many women have.
Yes. Yes, he has. I'm sure.
He's a woman supporter.
He is.
That's right.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I brought Amy on the show is because Amy has a very unique conversion story that almost heard accidentally, not really accidentally, but it was kind of, we were at an event together and how you expressed it. And I was sitting there with Greg and it's just an amazing story of how she came to the church.
Yeah.
So why don't you share that with us? And then I'm going to ask you to share yours. Afterwards.
Absolutely. I grew up Southern Baptist and I'm very proud of the way that I was raised. I went to a church that was very open. In my youth group, we actually had a study of different denominations of Christianity and where each church sprang from. And so I already knew about, you know, the origins of Protestant churches and that, you know, we all came from the Catholic Church. And so I was already kind of open for that. But I was still very a staunch Southern Baptist and, just knew this is where I'm supposed to be. My husband and I met when we were actually in middle school the first time I met him. He doesn't even remember it. But when we started dating our senior year in high school, he, you know, told me that he was Catholic. And I was like, oh, this is going to be easy. I can convert anyone. And Catholics don't know their Bible. This is going to be simple. He's going to be Baptist in no time. So he said, well, I can come to church with you, but I'm still going to go to Mass. It's just at a different time. So I thought, well, fine. I guess if he's going to try, then I'll show that I'm trying and not really try. But the first time I came to St. Philip was eye-opening. I was terrified. I grew up, my church was maybe 30 families. That's it. I was baptized in a bathtub in the basement of a home. So I was used to very small, you know, a group of small group of people. And coming to St. Philip for the first time, where we have many, many more families, I was very scared. I just thought it's going to feel corporate. It's going to feel like I'm just a little fish in a big sea. And it was the opposite. It just felt like home as soon as I walked in. And that terrified me because I was not going to be Catholic. And after a while, you know, we were going back and forth to my church and his church each weekend. And things were stirring in my heart that perhaps I'm not supposed to be at my home church, and perhaps I'm supposed to look elsewhere. perhaps that is the Catholic Church. So we just started going to St. Philip each week and kind of dropped my church. And the more I learned about Catholicism and the more we visited, I secretly realized that I was Catholic. And it took me another 3 years to even say anything about that because I was still fighting with the Lord and about being Catholic in the first place. I'm not going to do this. And Jesus said, I have other plans. You are going to do this. So I finally, in 2005, told my then boyfriend, current husband, that I think I need to go through RCIA. And he said, oh, no. I'm not asking you to do that for me. I would never ask you to change churches. And I said, oh, honey, this is not about you. You were the vehicle that brought me here. Jesus is telling me that I need to go through this. It has nothing to do with you. Thank you for bringing me. But I am being called to do this. And I started RCIA in September of 2005 and still all the way through had the idea that I would maybe at the end decide I'm not really going to go through with it. Maybe once we get to Easter, I will have learned all that I need to know and that will give me the fuel to go back to being Baptist. And it just, I was on fire by Easter. I was on fire that this is it. This is where the Catholic Church is where I am meant to be. And that was 15 years ago now. I just celebrated my 15th Catholiversary.
Oh, Catholiversary. Yeah. Nice. You coined that term. That's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think it was that was the turning point? What was the thing that was the awakening or the thing? You know, because, you know, we're not knocking other faiths.
No, I mean, we're not
saying that. You know, everybody has a pathway. And all, you know, at the end of the day, I find the litmus test is love, how you love. Right.
Exactly.
You know, exactly.
Well, and I think for me, you know, I had grown up at this church since I was in first grade, and it was the same families, and it just felt comfortable. And I was not comfortable trying anything new. And I think that was just the God asking me to stretch myself and just see what's out there. Really made me kind of open my eyes that, you know, there is more out here. And I think that my church growing up the way that I did and being taught in the faith the way that I was led me to where I am. I have not turned away from anything. I have leveled up in my faith and in my learning. And, but I think, you know, it was that comfort level for me was what kept me there. And I thought it was because it's tradition and it's what I know and it's what I love, but it was just, I was safe there.
Yeah.
And once I started coming to St. Philip and learning about the Catholic Church, I realized that God doesn't want me at my comfort level. God wants me to step out of the boat and to follow him on the water. And I'm so glad that I did.
Yeah. What is it that you find appealing, or something what is it that makes you so firm in your faith now? Like, you know, what is the,
besides my stubbornness?
Besides your stubbornness, you know, what is the, you know, what spirituality, what theological understanding, what switched in your head that said, you know, Christ is present here in the sacraments?
That came actually after I officially became Catholic, I think. We actually had, it was a book study here that Father Bala started. The book was called Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist. And I, growing up, had done a study on Judaism and knew about, you know, Jewish rites and customs, and was fascinated by the history of it, but wasn't really connected to the theology of it. And reading that book, you know, shameless plug for that book. Everyone needs to read that, FYI.
What's the name of it again?
Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist.
Gotcha. Okay.
It connected Jesus's Jewish upbringing to the new covenant. And I cried the whole way through it. It was just so cool to see that we are connected to our Jewish ancestors, that it's not, you know, Judaism is its own branch. Judaism, again, it's our history. We have just leveled up from that. And it's just, everyone needs to read that book. Seeing the history connect to my faith and seeing that Jesus meant for us to see him in the Last Supper and the continuation of that in Eucharist and Mass. It was just...
Well, that's a powerful story that you can witness to other folks, you know?
My Baptist upbringing kind of forces me to tell everyone.
Did you get in trouble? Did you get in trouble for...
Well, my parents have always said, you know, is Jesus the head? Then we're good. And my mother actually, you know, studied with me, and my mom is one of my, she's like my spiritual advisor. She is not Catholic, but she comes to Mass with us every weekend. Yeah. And is an amazing woman of faith. She actually comes to the conferences with me, conferences.
My mother does too, and she's not Catholic.
Yeah.
She's been to every one.
It is, you know, she's just such a stronghold in my faith journey. But she learned about Catholicism with me, and her mother, my grandmother, who's now in heaven, they kind of gave me someone to teach what I was learning.
Yeah.
And my grandmother was always just fascinated with it, and it kind of, I don't know, it led me even deeper into it.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the fascinations or things that you saw that you didn't kind of expect when you came into the, I mean, did you have a preconceived notion of the Catholic Church, you know? I mean,
yeah, kind of. I had a friend in, you know, grade school who was Catholic, and from what she had told me, it was very staunch and it was very traditional, which I grew up Baptist. We were too at that point. So that wasn't very different, but she would say, no, we don't read the Bible. We don't read the Bible at our house. We just pray rosaries, and all of our prayers are just set for us.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh no, I do read the Bible, and I have conversations with God when I pray, and I don't know that I'm cut out for this. And when I came to St. Philip, I realized, I think that maybe she had a preconceived notion that wasn't accurate. And, you know, we do read the Bible. We read all of the Bible through the year, and, you know,
3-year cycle. It takes 3 years.
3 years.
That's right.
I apologize. I'm still fairly new to
the
Catholic Church in the grand scheme of things.
Confession is later.
Yes. So, you know, that was something that I was pleasantly surprised. That's it's not the case at all.
Yeah. The only reason why I said, because this week I started volunteering at, what is the nursing home up the street?
Brookdale.
I can't even remember on the video that I posted. Like, where am I? And so it's older folks, and I'm doing their choir. So they called and wanted. So I go in there, and it's, none of them are Catholic. And I start playing all these gospel chops and licks on the piano. And this one older gentleman, he said, I thought you said you were Catholic. I thought that was funny because I was playing gospel chops. But
yeah, I do.
We kind of have an idea that we're kind of stuck. And depending on where you go, that's the beauty of the church, you know, no matter different parishes. And that's the beauty of the conference, too. It's pretty widespread apart in terms of what you offer in terms of the theological thinking, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah. I actually, you know, from the very beginning, I have just felt called to go beyond the regulars. You know, we've got regulars that go to these things and, you know, even participants within the programs at church. I just always felt to go beyond the regulars, come for a beautiful day. So it's a little bit more lighthearted, I guess.
It is.
Yeah.
I think I only missed the first women's conference because I wasn't Catholic at the time. I was still going through RCIA. And I remember thinking like, oh, I can't do that yet. But it's, you know, obviously that's not the case. Anyone can come.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's every single one I've been to, it's just, it's like being with family. it's like a family reunion every conference.
Yeah. Wonderful.
It's so great. What? Thank you for doing them.
Oh.
Well ladies, we're going to take a short break, and one of the songs that of Taylor Tripodi, the song we're going to lead into is called Stand in Awe of You by Taylor Tripodi. So we'll be right back. You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5. We'll be right back.
Your love so deep, my
You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio. You like how I say that? Isn't that funny?
You have a voice.
And a radio face.
That's so wonderful. Your hairstyle is perfect.
Isn't that beautiful? It's awesome.
He's wearing his glasses on top of his head, y'all.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect.
Yes. But anyway, welcome back. We just heard a song from Taylor Tripodi called Stand in All of You. And we're here with Sherry Isham and Amy Raleigh. Sherry's with the Women's Conference. And Sherry, what drives you to do this year after year? I mean, I've worked with you the last 3 or 4 years on this, and I see everything that you put into this, your whole heart, your whole soul, and all the obstacles that you have to leap and jump over. And if sometimes I think if I was you, I would just like to say, you know what, forget it. Well, but you continue with this mission.
I hate to admit it, but I mean, there's times where I think this is it. This is the last time. It really is kind of a lot because we started off with an enormous committee. And you know how sometimes in ministry over the years, people move on and it's not always easy to quick replace them. And so I started picking up more and more of it on my own. And so it has just become so much more of a tremendous work. But the only way, John, I can really explain it, and I think the bishop helped me once with this, saying it's like a grace from God. I mean, it's God's grace that has put that passion in me to want to keep doing it and to keep going on. And I even had someone ask once, they said, well, when you're up there at the podium and you see 1,000 women out there, aren't you just so pleased? Isn't it just great? And I said, well, no, honestly, when I'm standing at the podium, I'm like working. I feel like I'm doing the work that's necessary. What really makes me feel great is when I hear women afterwards say how it touched their lives or how, you know, actually, we've had several women come, daughter-in-laws of Catholic mothers or whatever, and have decided to join the church after just having spent a day with us. That's what drives me, gives me chills right now as I'm talking to you. So, yeah. And it has to be something I think maybe was just planted on my heart years ago.
What happened to you years ago? What's your journey, Sherry?
Well,
you know, because people in sales, people buy from who they know. Mm-hmm. And when they know their story and they really kind of know their heart, you know, that's when people kind of connect and create.
Yeah.
You know, so well, what is your story?
Interestingly, Sherry? I mean, I've been Catholic now 42 years. And it all, the journey started for me as I was dating a Catholic in high school. And then we went on to college. And I would occasionally go to Mass with his parents and family. And I saw such a difference there. I was raised Methodist. We didn't always go to church. My parents were corporate America. So a lot of times on Saturday night, they were out, you know, with corporate events or out to dinner with my dad was with a large corporation and the buyers would often entertain him, you know, to dinner and things like that. So I'd hope they'd sleep in the morning, you know, Sunday morning after being out Saturday night. So we wouldn't have to go to church. I hate to even say that now, but going off to college, the Baptists got a hold of me, I like to say.
We're a charismatic group.
Yes, yes. And the Bible came alive for me. But I also knew, too, that eventually I was going to have to choose my Catholic boyfriend who tended to party a little more versus what the Baptists might accept, you know. And so I chose him. And
I feel that in my heart.
Yeah, it's like I couldn't live in both worlds. But I did go ahead and keep going to church myself. But I went to Lutheran because my mother was Lutheran and my dad was Methodist. And so our family always went to Methodist. But Lutheran was pretty close to Catholic. And so I kind of attended that during college. But then after college, married a Catholic, and I knew I didn't want our family every weekend trying to decide which church were we going to go to and how were we going to raise the kids and things like that. So I thought, you know, I didn't see that many differences, honestly, and I loved seeing families all together at Mass, because in the Methodist church, the kids would go off to Sunday school and the parents would just go to the church service, you know, and hear the sermon. So I loved a lot of aspects about being Catholic, but that was my main reason for becoming Catholic. And way back then, 42 years ago, there was no RCIA. So the priest had a few other college kids that were thinking about becoming Catholic because of marriage situations. So for about, I think it was about 3 weeks, two nights a week, we met with him. And before you know it, he brought us in at Easter Vigil. And I was Catholic. So, and went on to become married. And then about 8 years later, my husband and I had children. And then about 5 years later, my oldest was going to kindergarten here at, I'm trying to think if we were at St. Philip by then, but we were in Colorado through all of this, moved to Tennessee. And my oldest was sent home from kindergarten having to memorize the Hail Mary. And I didn't know it myself. And I hate to even admit that now. I really do. But I thought, okay, Lord, now I'm raising little Catholics. Mm-hmm. And I need to know, is this really your church, the true church? And I know if I go to the Catholic priest, he's going to convince me, you know, why I'm Catholic and how good it is. And if I go to the Methodist minister, he'll convince me why I should be there. So I just went to God himself. And before you know it, in about a year's time, I had the most incredible miracles happening in my life. And I just call them miracles. You know, I, again, was talking with the priest about it another time, and he said those were special graces, you know. One time I can remember being at home all alone. My husband traveled a lot in those days when our children were smaller. And I picked up a book, and in there was a prayer called Litany to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I said, Lord, because I'm used to pouring my heart out to you. What are all these Catholic prayers about? So I could understand, Amy, when you were talking, yes, too. Because the Baptists help me, you know, to be able to talk personally with our Lord, praying.
Yeah.
So anyway, I started praying the Litany to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And it was the most incredible prayer. I'd never heard Jesus described in so many different ways and just how beautiful it was. And before you know it, my whole bedroom, because I was in bed reading this prayer or praying this prayer, and my whole bedroom just became warmth and love, and just all of a sudden my clock downstairs started chiming, and I knew in an instant these were universal Catholic prayers that anyone can pray at any moment to pick up. Even when you can't muster up a prayer on your own, you can pick up a Catholic prayer and pray it. And it was beautiful. And the real thing for me was that clock downstairs had hung on the wall for 2 years and not worked. And it was chiming, y'all. It was beautiful.
I have chills, Sharon.
Yeah. I mean, it was a moment. And I had a few more instances happen like that. In fact, I wanted to go through RCIA. I thought I really would like to learn more about the faith. So one of the Sundays when they were having the ministry fair here at St. Philip, Mark, you know, we were usually one of those that kind of wanted to get out of Mass and rush to the parking lot before, you know, it would take too long to get out, yeah, and things. So he took the kids to the car, and I thought, I'm going to run through the ministry fair real quick. Well, as I was walking down the hallway, this gentleman stepped out and he goes, you look like you'd make a good sponsor for RCIA. And I thought, yeah, that's my way to go through RCIA again now, you know, because yeah, I'm a young mom in my, well, let's say, I guess, early 30s then, and just too embarrassed to ever go to someone, you know, saying, how do I learn more about this faith? So anyway, I sponsored someone who was Catholic, just never ended up confirmed and, you know, wanted to go through the program too. So it was easy to sponsor her. And I really learned a lot that way and just kept having special answered prayers. I think a lot of times in our life, that's one of the ways our Lord grabs us, is not by more instruction and learning, but by experiencing Him, having our prayers answered, you know, in just tremendous ways. So, and then leading on to the conference, I guess we've lived here twice. So we had moved back to Denver, and I was attending Women of Faith there. They would get like 10,000 in an arena. Oh. And Kathy Tricoli was a Catholic Christian singer, and I loved her. So I went to Women of Faith, and I thought, why aren't we having things like this as Catholics? Well, then about a year later, she was singing at another event. It was called Time Out for Women. And it was 1,000 women in a non-denominational church. They had 3 speakers, and it closed with her concert. And I heard the Lord distinctly say, I want you to do this for Catholic women someday. And that was in Denver. And that was overwhelming in a way to me. I mean, I wanted to do it so bad, but I'm thinking, me? How do I ever figure this out, you know? But we were attending one of the largest parishes west of the Mississippi, is what they used to say. There was 5,000 members at this Catholic church. They had a school, and they even had a restaurant afterwards. You could go have breakfast after Mass.
5,000 members or 5,000 families?
Families, sorry. 5,000 families.
Yeah, that equals 20,000 people.
Yeah, it was a big parish. So anyway, I thought, okay, we'll try to hold it here. And I went to the DRE, and she goes, oh, we'll never, because I told her I felt called to do it for 1,000 women because of the what I had just attended. And she goes, you know, we just had Scott Hahn and invited the whole diocese, and we couldn't even get 200 here. And I don't know, she just kind of burst my bubble. And before you know it, we ended up moving back to Nashville. And when I walked into this parish, it had changed in this whole new big building. And I thought, this is a perfect setup. And so I told my friend about it. And right away, she wanted to get going on doing the conference. And I said, well, give me 6 months to get my family settled, and we'll, you know, look at it. Well, then suddenly I had to go to work too. And before you know it, 2 years went by, and I just kept feeling, you know, such a void that maybe I had let God down, because through some of this, I've got to see, there's two times, I'm trying to think now. Once I was telling my friend about it, and my husband had ended up losing his job and found something new in Detroit. So it looked like we were moving to Detroit, and I told my friend, and we put our house for sale. It wasn't selling. Our houses usually sell pretty quickly. And finally, I said to my friend Joyce, I guess I better accept this whole Kathy Tricoli thing wasn't meant to be, this conference, and we're moving to Detroit. Well, that afternoon I went shopping at Cool Springs Mall and bumped into Kathy Tricoli. And I thought, now what are the chances of that, you know, that I'm just thinking about giving it all up and I bump into her. And again, I'm nervous about this. I've never done these kind of things. And so I said, well, Lord, if I'm really supposed to talk to her, send her my way, because I'm not going after her, you know?
Yeah.
And she got
stalker.
Yeah.
Right.
She got her ice cream cone and she walked right by me. I thought, okay, I got to get up the courage to ask her. And I said, Kathy Tricoli, I heard you at the Women's of Faith Conference and other things, and I'm feeling called to do the same. And she said, well, wonderful. I said, but I'm getting ready to move to Detroit. And she said, well, you know, I'm doing an event up there. And we talked a bit. And anyway, she gave me her manager's name, but I never got around to doing anything about it. I ended up having to go to work, and before you know it, it was a job that took a lot of my time. So 2 years went by. I really didn't do anything with that encounter with Kathy Tricoli, and I was feeling such a spiritual void too, because I knew that was more than a coincidence that I had run into her.
Right.
And so Kim here at the parish said, well, Sherry, why don't you go on this retreat they're having at Skerritt Bennett down there? Mm-hmm. And I had no downtown.
Oh.
And I had no idea, you know, what the retreat was even about. But I was working almost 90 hours a week. I hate to even admit it. But I decided I was going to go. And the night before going, I thought, I've got to get my nails done. So I stopped into this nail salon that I've never been to before. And I'm sitting there getting my nails done, and in walks Kathy Tricoli.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, Lord, I'll talk to her again, you know, if it's meant to be. And I had to really muster up the courage. And she goes, well, you know, Sherry, if I did anything, I'd want to do it for 1,000 women. I said, well, Kathy, that's just what I'm feeling called to do it for. And so anyway, got the courage up to write a note to the priest here. And he said, okay, sure, yeah, try to get a committee together. Well, then as soon as I told him how much Kathy Tricoli cost, he said, no way. He said, no way. And I felt like a little kid that day. I said, please, Father, please let me do this conference.
Was this Father Arnold?
Yeah. I said, please, Father, let me do this conference. I'll do it on my own. I'll do it on my own. And I think by the end of the conversation with him, he just felt bad for me and said, okay, all right, but let me know. Because I told him we'd probably charge $25 for a ticket. And because initially I just didn't think women would pay more than that, you know. So I left, and the other priest was in the parking garage and met me, and he goes, how'd it go? How'd it go? Because he was kind of a spiritual champion of it. Really, it was Father Kirk. I almost call him the spiritual father of this conference, because he was very supportive and wanted us to be open to the Holy Spirit and see what, you know, God had in mind. And so anyway, put together a committee, and I remember Father Arnold saying, well, let me know once you have 500 tickets sold, because that's about what we needed to pay for Kathy Tricoli. And so we had 500 tickets sold, and we were 10 days out from the conference, and suddenly we averaged about 50 ticket sales a day the last 10 days. And once we hit 900, Father Arnold said, where are you going to put all these people? He just, you know, got very fearful and really stressed me out too, because we've been working very hard. We had a committee of 80 women. I mean, thought of everything, all the way to the point of having a nurse on site should anything happen, person who was going to be there to take pictures, you know, ushers, people at the doors to take tickets, just... The ladies thought, in fact, some were vacuuming off the pews, all kinds of stuff, you know, getting ready for this big event. And Father Arnold said, put the brakes on it. We were at 900. Where are we going to put everybody? And I thought, but Lord, I feel called to do it for 1,000 women. So I went into the adoration or the chapel and prayed a bit about it. And just as I was coming out, I saw Father Kirk and mentioned, he goes, well, we don't want to turn away anyone the Lord is sending. And, you know, I truly have used that for every conference. We don't want to turn away anyone the Lord is sending. And I went in and had to take a phone call from a lady that wanted to buy a ticket. And I said, would you mind praying for us? It was an elderly woman. I said, we're having to make a critical decision here, whether to stop ticket sales or not, because the parish seats 1,100. If we sit elbow to elbow, and we're at 900. And she goes, oh, honey, we're so excited for this conference. We won't mind sitting elbow to elbow. And I thought, that's my answer. We're not going to stop ticket sales. And we ended up with 1,008 women at the first women's conference.
Wow.
And yeah, ever since then, we just kind of continued on. And there's been learning curves. You know, we've learned a lot of different things that have come up over the years. But my hope is that women will return, but also that new ones will come and have a chance to experience, and that we'll be able to grow, because this year it's definitely going to be on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
Definitely smaller scale.
Yeah. So. Well, you went through some darkness there in order to get to the light. You walked through some difficult struggles in order to, you know, those kind of struggles, the heart is what makes it good.
Yeah.
You know, if it was, you ever hear that from A League of Their Own, the baseball, the movie with Tom Hanks, he said it's the heart that makes it good, you know, because when you have to really work at something.
I guess I was still pretty mad at Father Arnold, though.
I think there was a line of people that might have been, yeah.
But anyway, once it was all over, we had an appreciation dinner, and I stood up and I said something. I think I looked over at Father Arnold across, and I said, and you know, Father, you wanted it, but or didn't even want us to do that. Or, I don't know. Isn't that awful? I mean, I have grown.
I think that he's really laughing about
it. I've grown. Now. But he stood up and he said the nicest, kindest things I've ever heard. He goes, out of all of his years, he started the search program that the kids do now.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of the years of doing those things, he's never seen anything like this. But you know, hopefully he was happy too, because I know that's why he built this church.
Yeah.
Is to do bigger events. He always was so good about dinners and things like that, wanting to bring people to the church to enjoy life instead of having to be out in, you know, compromising other situations, you know,
yeah.
sometimes. I mean,
yeah.
instead of going and meeting at the bars, why not come and have dinner here and dance, you
yeah.
know?
Well, so, you know, you're doing the work. You're doing the work that the lay people, you know, bringing other people together. That's our job as lay people, to do what you're doing.
Right.
And it's a great thing. So we're going to take a little pause for the cause here. We played another little song here by Taylor. Taylor Tripoli, the song is called "The Dark Is Not Your Home." We'll be right back on Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5, brought to you by Closets by Design. Listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "There is a place for everything, everything in its place." For most of us, that's easier said than done. Let the professionals at Closets by Design help you find a place for all of your everythings. They're experts in maximizing your storage space by creating new organizational units for any space in your home. Imagine your home totally organized, along with your office, pantry, closet, or garage. Call locally owned Closets by Design today for your free in-home consultation and save 40% off their everyday low prices, plus receive free installation. They'll design and price your new space during the visit. Call 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700 or online at closetsbydesign.com.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio. I'm your host, John Angotti. Flying solo today. Everybody's out doing things. Please keep Greg Walton in your prayers. He lost a relative this year, so he is at a funeral, so he's not here with us today. And the other folks are out doing the things that they do in ministry-wise. But today we have Sherry Isham.
That's all right.
Yes, and Amy Raleigh, both here to tell their not only their conversion stories, but Sherry's here talking about the women's conference that'll be next week. Now, both of these women come from different denominational backgrounds and telling their conversion story to Catholicism. But we were just talking on the break that, you know, how it's not like there was 90% of what we all believe is the same.
Exactly.
And, you know, Dion Clare, maybe it was Martin who told me, I think he said Martin Luther King said this, that 11 o'clock is the most segregated hour of the week because we're all in different churches.
Right.
You know, and that we love our brothers and sisters of different denominations because we're all on the same mission. And at some point, it would be awesome if we would all worship together.
We will when we're all together in heaven.
Well, I'd like to do it on earth.
Yeah, it would be great to do it on earth.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we could, because as, you know, as a Christian faith, you know, sometimes people think because you're Catholic, you're not Christian. But, you know, and you get that kind of stuff, that we're never going to accomplish anything.
Right.
Until we all come together.
Well, like I said, for me, I didn't see that many differences, honestly, when I was attending the Catholic Church. And like you said, 90% of what we believe is the same.
Yeah.
What really clinched it for me, honestly, though, John, was the Eucharist. I saw a video by Bob and Penny Lord called Miracles of the Eucharist that...
Oh, they showed that in RCIA.
Yeah. Yes. Miracles of the Eucharist and then Scott Hahn's conversion story.
Yeah.
And I was proud to be a Catholic woman of faith.
Yeah.
And so that's my hope, that women leave the conference proud to be Catholic women of faith too.
Yeah.
But again, I don't think anything, let's see, against our Protestant brothers or sisters at all.
Right, absolutely not. Right.
Because I do believe we all just believe the same. And we just have a little bit more. I've heard it described as almost the fullness of faith.
Yeah.
Because of the Eucharist and the communion with saints also.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
so. There's something about this ancient ritual, you know, and if folks would just do their history, it leads them right into the door.
Yeah, you're right.
And how
but
we're
you have
all connected.
To do your history, not just 500 years ago. You got to do the whole history.
Yeah,
yeah. And on who really wrote the Bible and
and
the biblical history from the beginning
and all that kind of stuff. But you know, I'm so happy that you're getting to do the conference this year, and we definitely want to invite people. And where can they get tickets?
Go to the website. It's Catholic Women of Faith Conference.com. You can buy them by clicking on the PayPal button, or if you want, you can come to the church. They have them in the office. That's probably the easiest way. Or those that don't really want to order online, you can print the brochure and mail in a check, but probably need to do that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, in the mail.
Okay.
We always take walk-ins, but this year, we're getting pretty close to our limit, so I don't know if we're going to be able to take walk-ins. We might have to put sold out on the website,
but I
hope not.
What's your limit?
We're going to try to limit 400.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we can take 500.
Well, all right, you talk to Father Ed.
Yeah, we'll talk to Father Ed, yeah. We can take, we'll take, just like what Father said.
I don't
want
to turn anyone, the Lord's sending.
We're not going to turn anyone away that the Lord is sending, that's a fact. Mm-hmm. But Amy, thanks for being with us today and appreciate your story. Any final words you want to leave the folks?
Come to the women's conference if you can, because it will change your outlook. It will change your spiritual journey.
And I think we all need those kind of feedings along the way. It's been in COVID, so it's a great time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as Williamson County is opening up, please, our doors are open. So we're going to be online too, right? Is this going to be live
stream? That's true. There's a virtual option. Yes.
Okay.
If you want to watch it from home, or once you have that access code, you can watch it at a later date. If you don't have a chance to spend the day watching a conference, you can listen to one talk and then come back.
Great. Very good. And so, Sherry, thank you for being here and for everything that you do for our community and for the whole diocese. I mean, now, the job that you worked 90 hours, that wasn't that diocesan job,
no.
was it?
No. Well, that was a pretty good chunk of time, okay, too, but it was another one, yeah.
How long did you spend with the diocese?
12 years.
All 12 years.
12 years. Actually, it was after our third conference, the bishop called me and said, you know, he wanted to do a Eucharistic Congress.
Yeah.
And maybe serve on a committee, and before you know it, I said, well, I've got to go back to work, Bishop. And he said, and he called me 3 months later, said, I'd like to hire you. So,
all right. Yeah. And that, so there we go. So we're going to go out with a piece by Taylor Tripodi called We Are Alive. We are definitely alive. So please come to the Women's Conference. And if you're looking for a place to come, please come visit us at St. Philip. We're open every day. So go out and smile at somebody. God bless. You're listening to Living Real Radio on Hippie Radio 94.5. Have a great day.
Keeping me in his grave, but love, you.
You've been listening to Living Real Radio, Real Issues in Real Time, with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, Robert Fiducia, and Julianne Staley. Be sure to tune in every week at 8 a.m. to Living Real Radio. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.